wasn't quite Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland and the proclamation, "My uncle has a barn, let's put on a show." The founders of the Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble came to town to hone their craft with a master teacher, and it went without saying that they'd be putting on some shows in the process, and their very first season, the site was not a barn, but a school building and the multi-purpose space that is used as a cafeteria and even an auditorium. That was 40 years ago this season, and the company has matured and set down roots in the region, and eventually the company was able to purchase the Columbia Movie Theater that James Good tells us was built on the site of two previous opera houses dating back to the Civil War, so their roots do go back deeply. That building has become the Alvina Krause Theater, home of the award-winning Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble, a company with an international reach. This place and this space have always been fundamental to the mission of the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble. As Kirsten Schmidt reminds us, theater and presence have always been intricately linked because a theater performance is inherently an original event that takes place in the here and now in front of a particular audience. Theatrical experience, therefore, cannot be reproduced. Yet somehow, because of the authenticity of the performances and the reality of these one-of-a-kind experiences, there is an aura that remains. We know well the phrase, "If these walls could talk," and so, when BTE looks back over 40 years in this region, they are doing what they do best, making theater, to celebrate and explore both the mystery of their art, their craft, and their ties to this community. They're putting on a show, all right, one they've done 17 times before, having just crossed the 400th performance mark this past weekend of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens in an adaptation by ensemble member Richie Canaday, running now through December 27th at the Alvina Krause Theater in downtown Bloomsburg. We had a chance to speak by phone with BTE founding members Laurie McCants and James Good about the production and the special celebration.
It's our 40th season, and this is something worth jumping up and down and shouting. Not many professional theater companies in the nation managed to survive this long. And we have, with incredible support from our community and other arts organizations in the area and our audience and the young people who've grown up in our theater company, we're thrilled that here we are still.
Of course, we programmed Christmas Carol this year to kind of mark the 40th season. We haven't done it for 5 years, so we put it off till an anniversary season. And it's a very special show. It's been a lot of fun to work on.
Take us back to those early days of yesteryear when you were finding your way. Did you do it the very first season? How did Christmas Carol become a part of the life of Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble?
Oh, we didn't do it in the very first season because our very first season was actually a summer season when we did two plays at the Central Columbia Middle School Cafetorium. But then, which year was it, Jim?
It was 1979 that we decided to extend our season into the fall and winter. So we did four performances of Christmas Carol on the campus of Bloomsburg State College, as it was then.
Yeah.
Just four performances, and actually four of us in this year's show were in that production. Laurie, myself, Elizabeth Dowd, and Rand Whipple. Rand played Scrooge then, and he's playing Scrooge again now.
It's been quite a while since Rand has been on our stage. He's a valued member of the Bloomsburg community. He has his own company called Box of Light Studios. But Rand was a founding member of the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble, and he was our first Scrooge when he was far too young to play the role. What was he, in his mid to late 20s? And he did it a couple of times for us, several times for us. But now he's back, and now he's the right age.
This is our 17th production of A Christmas Carol. Sunday, the 26th of November, that will be our 400th performance of the show.
Over the years, we've done many different variations and versions of the story. We've always done our own original versions. We haven't shopped out for anybody else's version of the story. So our adaptations have come from the ensemble. And in the early years, I really think that Christmas Carol was a wonderful sort of lab for us as young devisers, creators, because the story itself is so marvelous and so sturdy that we did many, many different, wildly different variations on the story. And, of course, the story itself shines through. So this version is a completely new version by ensemble member Richie Canaday. He wrote the adaptation, and he's also directing it. He did the version that we did 5 years ago, but this version is completely new. It's completely different.
In what kinds of ways? In the use of music? In the use of which story elements? In the diction? What kinds of things might be different this time round?
Well, you know, in Great Britain, there's a tradition of ghost stories at Christmas time. And Dickens called A Christmas Carol a ghost story of Christmas. This year's adaptation really focuses on the ghost story aspect. All of the cast members are ghosts coming back to the theater to tell the story of A Christmas Carol. And the four ghosts, Marley and past, present, and future, are all very different kinds of ghosts. We have a child, present, is very tall, on stilts. And I would say the spooky aspect mm-hmm. of what's happening to Scrooge is really highlighted this year.
The production also sort of evokes a sort of theatrical heritage. It's as if our own theater is a haunted theater and that we as the acting company are ghosts of 19th century performers. It's really quite beautiful and somewhat spooky. Another wonderful thing about this particular production, the Ghost of Christmas Present, who is a very tall female ghost, a very cheery, wonderful spirit, is played on stilts by McCambridge Dowd Whipple, who is Rand Whipple's daughter. McCambridge grew up in our theater company. She was one of our interns several seasons ago, and she's been a guest artist with us. She now works with a wonderful avant-garde theater company in Chicago called Walkabout, but she has returned to join both of her parents in this production because Elizabeth Dowd is also in the play. So it's a reunion of all kinds on the stage this time around.
And tell us a little bit about what you'll each be doing as part of this wonderful mix.
Well, I'm playing a variety of things as a co-conspirator ghost. I'm playing Mrs. Fezziwig, which is a lot of fun because I get to dance. And I'm also playing the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. And we're doing it in a different way than we've done it over the years. I've got a gorgeous costume that was built for me, made for me, designed for me by our costume designer, Rebecca Ermish, who has been designing costumes for us since the very beginning of our work here in Bloomsburg as a theater ensemble. She is just a magnificent designer. So I'm having a great time pointing out the things to Scrooge that he ought to notice about what might happen to him in the future if he doesn't change his ways.
And I'll be playing Jacob Marley and Old Joe, who is sort of the pawnbroker guy in the future that they sell Scrooge's belongings to. And then I also get to do some narration in the present section of the show, which is just some beautiful narration that Dickens wrote.
I'm so happy that there's narration in this adaptation because Dickens' writing is so beautiful, evocative, gorgeously constructed.
And funny.
And funny, yeah. He's just a delightful writer. In the off years, when we're not performing Christmas Carol on our stage, I do Dickens' own cutting of Christmas Carol as a performed reading at one of our wonderful local restaurants, Seasons on Main. So those people who cannot go through Christmas without hearing A Christmas Carol can come and hear me perform it. And it's fun for me, too, because, as I said, I just love the narration that is in that story. It's so well done.
And to follow up on what you just said, Laurie, about being Mrs. Fezziwig and getting to dance, That, of course, suggests that there's some music. Tell us about that aspect of this production.
Well, Richie, the director and adapter, is also the sound designer, and he has collected a number of wonderful recorded sounds that he has layered and looped and created a very evocative soundscape for the piece. Some of it is quite atmospheric and spooky. Some of it is more traditional. He has a lovely selection of Christmas carols played on traditional instruments such as piano, but also on, I believe that there is one of the carols is actually on sitar. It's a really interesting stringed instrument. So it's a nice mix of very sort of kind of postmodern takes on traditional Christmas music, but also with all of the beautiful memories and nostalgia that comes with the music that we all know and love from this time of the year.
And the setting now, we know about bedposts and door knockers and things like that. Will we have a sense of his chambers and so on?
Well, the setting, it's a very open stage with isolated set pieces that get reused. It's as if you walked into the theater and it's sort of a storage room or leftover from a rehearsal kind of look.
Or one of those old abandoned theaters.
Mm-hmm. And so we reuse sawhorses and tabletops for desks and beds. And, you know, the door gets used various ways. So that we have a trap door. We have things that get flown in from above. So it's as if the actor ghosts have come to the theater and are using what they find there to tell the story.
What about the story itself reflects on BTE and its mission in the community, that sense of heart that's there and so on? You always have been part of the community. And is there something when you do a Christmas carol that there's a resonance there?
Absolutely. The heart of the story, of course, is that this man who has shut himself off from all community, all connection, all human feelings towards his fellow humans, is reawakened to the beauty of life and the beauty of his fellow beings, and how it is his job as a human being to do what he can to reach out and help others. And that is, I think that is the story of this season. It is the story that all religions have urged us to take on as our reason for being here and for our community and for us as performers. It is a beautiful, funny, moving, heartwarming reminder of our task here in this community and on Earth.
As Marley says, mankind was my business. He realizes that, you know, of course, too late for himself, and that's the lesson that Scrooge learns, that the business of being a human is to be human. And that's, I think, at the heart of our mission as a company and what we want to do in the community and what we get back from the community, and to tell this story for our community with so many people out there who have been with us for so long. It's just a joyous time for us to perform. And we've got, I don't know, about 30 performances, so we've got a lot of people we'll be communicating with, and it's great.
Founding members of the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble, Laurie McCants and James Good, speaking with us about the production of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, adapted and directed by Richie Canaday, running now through December 27th at the Alvina Krauss Theater, Center Street in downtown Bloomsburg. The shows are Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m., and for more information on the web, bte.org, bte.org. That's now through December 27th, Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., Sundays at 3 at the Alvina Krauss Theater in downtown Bloomsburg, the 40th anniversary season of the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble being celebrated in 2017-2018. And for more information on the web, bte.org, bte.org.